Once again, Jesus encounters Simon and Andrew. Remember last week when Simon, he's one of John the Baptist's disciples, and the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And so he follows Jesus, and Jesus wants him to remain with him, right? To stay with him. And then today, now, he calls them to leave their entire livelihood behind. And amazingly, they follow him. So last week was remain, but now it's like leave it all behind and come with him. It's really quite amazing. And shortly thereafter, James and John do the same. So something has definitely changed since that encounter when Jesus with Simon and Andrew, and when John, before John had been arrested. Something new is in the air. Immediately before these encounters, Jesus speaks the first words of his public ministry, which that's a hint for us. That means they're extremely important. First things in the Bible are very, very important. "This is the time of fulfillment," he says. "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Now, we hear things like this fairly frequently, and so these words can easily be overlooked. But make no mistake, this is very powerful stuff. Very powerful. Basically, what Jesus is saying is that there's no more time for messing around, or it doesn't even make sense anymore. Something radically new is present. That's what he wants us to know. The kingdom is now present, as a matter of fact. That's a huge deal. The kingdom of God that prophets and people have been talking about for thousands of years in Jewish history, now present. Not somewhere off there, is now present, right here. The time of fulfillment has arrived. The fulfillment of all that has been prophesied, all that has been said, the time is now. That's massive. However, this kingdom and this fulfillment must be received. They must be received. Therefore, it is also the time of metanoia. Metanoia, that's the Greek word behind repentance, which comes from a Latin derivative, a translation of metanoia. And so metanoia, it's a compound Greek word comprised of meta, which means to go beyond, like metaphysics, go beyond physics. But then also nous. Noia comes from the root of nous, which is mind. So literally it means to go beyond your mind. It doesn't mean to lose your mind, but it means to go beyond what your mind has done, what your mind has even been capable of before. That's kind of the literal sense. But in this context, it refers to total transformation. To think like God does and allow Him to become the absolute center of your life. That's really what Christ is getting at. And so it goes far deeper than mere repentance, at least in the way that many people use that word or think about that word these days, which is, okay, maybe I'll light a votive candle, or I'll throw a couple trinkets of prayer out there, a couple Hail Marys and hope for the best, but no real change of heart, change of life. And the word has been cheapened down through the ages from this kind of metanoia sense, and especially towards the end of the Middle Ages and going forward, it really got cheapened. So I like to draw out that distinction. It's only through metanoia that we can truly receive the kingdom and allow Him, allow His radical love to transform us. And that's the best thing that you can possibly do. Brothers and sisters, the absolute best thing. The Ninevites in today's first reading end up with repentant hearts, but probably aren't experiencing metanoia. And don't know for sure, but what we do know for sure is that Jonah definitely isn't experiencing metanoia. This reluctant prophet, he's kind of a comical figure. Remember his famous reluctance and even defiance in following God the first time that he's called. We pick up today in the third chapter of Jonah. The first two chapters are this defiance. And so God tells him initially, all right, I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to go preach the word. So he would have had to go east over land to this huge city, the hated enemies, the feared enemies of the Assyrian Empire, go to their capital city and tell them they got to get religion. Jonah didn't like that. So he goes the opposite direction by water. Remember, he gets in a boat. He wants to go to Tarshish, which in that day and age was perceived as the other end of the world, the complete opposite end of the world. And it doesn't go so well, if you remember. He becomes a problem, actually a huge problem. And he's really a source of chaos for everyone around him when he denies God's will, when he doesn't follow him. Right? You have the big waves and everybody's terrified and they're like, who are you? Well, you got on our boat and now everything's going wrong. You know, what is this? And so they end up throwing him overboard. He actually tells them, he fesses up, they throw him overboard. Of course, the fish eats him and then spits him up on the shore. And then we pick up with today, with chapter 3. So when he denies God, things don't go well, right? Yet when he does listen and obey the Lord, even if reluctantly, he becomes a vehicle of grace for others. Maybe some repentance, we don't know. But if you keep reading, that's why I question it, because he kind of sulks, he's kind of disappointed, he's kind of pouting because God didn't wipe out Nineveh. He kind of wanted to watch that happen, apparently. And so he gets mad at God for actually being merciful. Now, it's kind of understandable why Jonah isn't thrilled about this assignment to go to Nineveh all the way. It probably was a hazardous journey to get there in the first place, but to go there and to deliver this tough message, very risky journey to say the least. Again, these are the hated enemies of the Jews, and they're worshipers of pagan gods, and they despise the Jews, and they're much more powerful. The exile, the lost 10 tribes of Israel, the first exile came at the hands of the Assyrians, and Nineveh is their capital. So yet, he ends up going, second time around, right? He goes, and God delivers, big time. Amazingly, the Ninevites are immediately cut to heart by the preaching of this reluctant prophet. At once, they proclaim a fast and put on sackcloth. If you read we don't have the full narrative, but if you read the whole narrative, it says even the animals, even like the cattle, put on sackcloth. Which we're meant to get a little bit of a chuckle. The cattle are repenting, right? But this is an enormous change for these people. And in just one day. Look what the Lord can do in just one day to such hardened hearts. Yet, it really seems like they're doing this out of fear of death and annihilation. That's the message from Jonah, right? 40 days and Nineveh's toast, going to be wiped out. So they're like, oh, that doesn't sound good. We better do something about this. So it's probably fear of that annihilation as opposed to love of God, or at least true love of God. Kind of hard to say, but was this kind of a quick one-off? Oh, we better do what he says, you know, so that maybe we'll be spared and then return to our normal life. So we have to question whether there was a true change of heart. But we don't know. We don't know exactly what happened. Now, fast forward many centuries, and we find the great St. Paul. And he undoubtedly understands the need for metanoia and lives it out so radically and beautifully. He uses the same word in his writings. The world is in its present state is passing away, he proclaims. And he kind of cautions as well. It's kind of a word of caution. But he doesn't say it explicitly here, but the implication is, so the world is passing away, but the kingdom of God is at hand, and it will never pass away. Never. So the implication, stop clinging to the passing things of this world and cling to God and the things of heaven that don't pass away. That's what Paul's pointing at in that brief second reading today. How crucially important it is, friends, to listen to the Word. Allow Him to become flesh within you. He's reaching out to you always. He's always speaking to you at every moment, calling you out of the darkness and into His glory. That's what He desires for you. So allow His words to sink in, to cut you to the heart and change your life forever, to transform you all the more into that saint that He created you to be. He wants you to abandon your nets, so to speak. And that doesn't mean you have to leave like every single thing behind necessarily. You call some people to do that, but what it means, abandon your nets, is to let go of whatever keeps you comfortable, whatever insulates you from being challenged, from leaving your comfort zone. Abandon your nets and follow Him unreservedly. That means live metanoia, right? Live this to the full. That's what He wants for you. Not just to say, oh yeah, that metanoia that Father Joe was talking about, okay, that sounds kind of neat or whatever, but no, to embrace it, to live it. And how? How do we do this? Well, you know the answer, right? It's the three-legged stool. Of course. Of course. So the sacraments are the first leg, confession and Eucharist. Regular confession, Eucharist on Sundays and holy days, at least. If you can come during the week, all the more wonderful. But I just want to emphasize that regular confession is absolutely essential for this metanoia. You're not going to be transformed if you're not coming to confession. It's so beautiful, regularly coming, allowing the Lord to do this beautiful, intimate work. So yes, it's essential. So sacraments, then you have a daily life of prayer. That's the second leg. And adoration of the Lord, whether it's just in the presence of the tabernacle or whether you're adoring Him, being able to gaze upon Him in the monstrance or in our exposition tabernacle in the chapel. Beautiful, quiet, prayerful, intimate time with the Lord, conversing with Him. Scripture, reading Scripture, studying Scripture. That's God revealing Himself, right? That's the Word that He gave us. Allow it to become flesh within you. Church teaching, you know, studying the catechism and other ways to enter into the church's teachings, especially those that you struggle with. Understand, what is the reasoning for these? What does it really mean? Why is the Lord calling me to this? Why does it make sense? Maybe it doesn't make sense. Help me, Lord, to understand this. To pray the rosary, meditating on the mysteries of the Lord's life through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. She wants you to know her Son, no doubt about it. Many other ways to enter into this life of daily prayer. And that takes us then to the third leg of the stool, which is service, mission, going out as called by the Lord, according to His will, not according to your will, my will either, according to the Lord's will. That's how you live metanoia. That's how you allow the Lord to completely transform you day by day. And so, brothers and sisters, don't follow the whims of this world that's passing away and all of its empty promises that are never going to fulfill you. Don't do it. Don't fall for it. Instead, follow the one, the only one who created you, who loves you infinitely and yearns for deeper and deeper communion with you, who is determined to guide you toward eternal joy with Him, all the while filling you with peace and joy, the peace and joy beyond all understanding in the meantime. He is the very kingdom of God present amongst you. That's Him. He is the kingdom present. That's what's so radically different that He's getting at in the gospel passage. And He wants to lead you on the most amazing journey possible. The most amazing journey possible. But, are you willing to give everything to this same one who has already given everything for you?